Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
And finally today, the weather and climate version of The Thread. Thread producer Tracy Mumford is here to talk some of our favorite weather-related book moments. Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning.
You know, I want to just start with some of the kids' classics. I can't tell you how many times that I've read to young students in classrooms, right? You get invited in as the meteorologist. Everybody wants to talk to the meteorologist. And I've done this a million times over the years. It seems like it's always fun. But who hasn't heard of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, right?
That's right. That would be a crazy weather moment in fiction.
I kind of call it the splendid table meets the day after tomorrow in terms of, you know, there's a little climate change in there. There's a little food.
Yeah, the town, it's a meat-pocalypse a little bit.
There's that, yes. So what do you think? When you think of weather and climate and children's books, what jumps to mind?
Oh, man. Yeah. So this was our thread question. What are your favorite moments of weather in fiction? I was going to say the winter in The Long Winter, Laura Ingalls Wilder book. I mean, you can feel the cold in that book, right?
Yes.
I love that moment. And then The Snowy Day by Ezra Jack Keats. Again, snow. There's something about winter in books that, you know, you're in your house reading about the snow and you're cozy and you're reading and you can feel the cold through the pages.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I, Tracy, end up reading a lot of technical weather stuff. Okay. I'm reading journals.
Yeah.
I'm reading. I wish I could read more in the way of weather fiction and whatnot. But there have been, you know, a couple of very famous books that have come out. Obviously, The Perfect Storm. This is a while ago, Sebastian Junger. And there's actually a Halloween megastorm connection to that whole scenario, because that storm that was over the North Atlantic, we were in sort of a blocking pattern. And that's when our Halloween megastorm in 1991 came up here and produced the greatest snowstorm in Twin Cities history. So those two storms are actually linked meteorologically.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there other good nonfiction weather books then, if that's kind of what comes across your plate?
Well, of course, there's a million great reference books. You know, our own Mark Seeley, of course, with the Minnesota Weather Almanac.
Yeah.
That's a great one for Minnesota. But I also remember Eric Larson's Isaac Storm.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fantastic story of, imagine being a meteorologist in 1900, no weather satellite, no Doppler radar, flying blind, and a hurricane's headed for the coast. That's a great story if somebody hasn't read it.
That is great. And so the New Yorker actually came up with this list of what they thought were the best weather moments in fiction. And we'll tweet this out.
Bring it.
If you have any favorite weather moments in books, you can tweet us at The Thread MPR. But their number one was also a hurricane from Zora Neale Hurston's Their Eyes Were Watching God. And yeah, storms and hurricanes and all these things, it kind of led me to this idea that can you have good fiction with good weather?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like you need some bad fiction to throw some tension in and make the story interesting. I mean, we have all heard it was a dark and stormy night, right?
That's it.
The best books start off with a little bit of weather description of setting the scene there?
Great point. You don't have too many books about sunny, beautiful days like today, do you?
Exactly right. Yeah. You know, if it's a sunny, beautiful day, that eventually the clouds will come, right? I feel like we've been trained for that. Obviously, the thunder in Herman Melville's The Lightning Rod Man, if you haven't read that, if you liked Moby Dick, you should check out what else Herman Melville has going on there.
Okay.
The list goes on. The mud in Charles Dickens' Bleak House, right? Again, storms and hurricanes and rain. It's all bad weather, right? Can you think of a book that had great, perfect weather?
Not really. You know, it's like weather music. It's all about storms, and although there are sunny day songs too.
The storm in Emily Bronte's Wuthering Heights, of course, you've got to get back to the fog on the moors and all of that. I mean, Victorian fiction really loved to paint a scene with fog and rain.
Hound
and all
of the
that
Baskervilles,
good
stuff. You know,
there
stuff.
You go. Yeah,
yeah,
it's got to be
moors.
Howling winds and rain. It's funny how much using weather in fiction can really set the mood. So you think of these more brooding novels or these scary novels. And then, of course, you have the tornado in The Wizard of Oz.
Of course.
Right?
A classic. a classic and
good, yeah.
Must see viewing for any young person, I think.
That's
in this country we live in.
And then The Weather in Virginia Woolf's To the Lighthouse. I mean, any books that are set on the coasts, again, there's a clue that it's not going to be sunshine and smooth winds for the rest, right? You love a good sea storm or something like that. So if you have favorites, tweet us your favorite weather moments.
Great stuff. Tracy Mumford, thank you so much for sitting in this morning.
Thank you.
And that's it for ClimateCast this week, everybody. I'm Paul Huttner. Hey, another beautiful spring weekend is on the way, so get out there and enjoy it. And thanks for listening.